Ryan Hannibal of WEEI. Hi, Ryan. How's your afternoon going?
Pretty good, Rich. Hot one down in Boston, but, you know, we're functioning.
Yeah, well, good. Hang in there. Let's start with a little Red Sox talk as they get set to take on the Tigers tonight. It was an interesting weekend series, a split with one of the worst teams in baseball, and some at least temporary weaknesses in that bullpen were clearly exposed.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you saw the move with Heath Embry getting sent down to the Buttock, and that was kind of not a long time coming, but his last couple of appearances were pretty poor. Then you had Joe Kelly down at Pawtucket, who was performing pretty well and kind of left the team with no choice but to call him up. So, you know, we'll see what he has when he does get into a game. But, I mean, that bullpen's not as strong as, you know, we once thought with the injury to Koji Uehara. Gigi Tozawa is still working his way back from injury. So it's not really as, you know, strong as maybe once thought. I mean, they might get Craig Kimbrell back in a couple of weeks or so, but I still think that's maybe an area that they need to sort of, you know, look at a little more closely as the deadline approaches.
Well, today the big blockbuster move by the Cubs, picking up Chapman from the Yankees in a 4-for-1 deal. Dave Dombrowski's been so very proactive in the offseason and even here in midseason. Do you see him doing something in the next week? And if he does, will it focus on the bullpen or the starting rotation?
It's a good question. He actually just spoke here, probably ended like 5 minutes ago, saying that he refused 5 new trade proposals just today alone. So it seems like teams are, you know, pretty actively talking to the Red Sox, but whether or not, you know, those deals are actually deals that he would want to make, you know, remains to be seen. I mean, obviously with Moncada and Benintendi in the system, that's who, you know, these teams are going to want. And I really can't see the Red Sox, you know, parting ways with either of those two players. I mean, as it relates to deadline, I think they're pretty much set starting rotation, especially with Eduardo Rodriguez coming back the way he did. I mean, obviously, you want to see better from Drew Pomeranz in his first outing, so hopefully tonight's a better outing for him, if you're the Red Sox. But as it relates to them at the deadline, probably maybe a smaller bullpen move, similar to the Brad Cesar move. I just can't see them making a huge deal at this point.
Well, no, and people have been talking since Saturday night's meltdown about the possibility of Chris Sale. I look at that. He's a talented guy, but if he can't handle wearing throwback uniforms, I'm not sure he's ready to tackle the Boston media.
It's a good point. I mean, I think his value is probably going down significantly after that whole experience. I mean, you don't really know what you're getting from the mound in that guy, but you don't want a guy, you know, a wreck off the field, and you don't know what you're going to get on a given day. So, I mean, when you look at a potential deal for the Red Sox, it's going to have to involve, you would think, Moncada, Benintendi, Mookie Betts, Jackie Bradley. You're going to have to part ways with probably two of your top stars. And I just, you know, you hear that the White Sox looking for 5 players, and I just can't see the Red Sox doing anything close to that to acquire a guy like Chris Sale. Because, I mean, when you look at the Red Sox rotation, they're kind of, I mean, obviously you'd like to add Chris Sale, but when you look at them long term, the rotation's kind of set. They don't really need to give up the farm for an ace pitcher.
We're talking with Ryan Hannibal of WEEI in Boston. And today, Hanley Ramirez named the American League's Player of the Week. The young guy's getting a lot of publicity, and rightly so. David Ortiz with this remarkable season in his final year. What Hanley has done is kind of gone under the radar, but to me, no less remarkable, mostly the fact that he has been so terrific and so solid at first base and continuing to contribute offensively.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, Hanley struggled sort of a little bit further, you know, the first half of the season until about June or July, and I think he, you know, didn't get the criticism that he may have gotten just because of the way that he was playing first base, playing, you know, exceeding expectations for anyone. And the team was winning, so no one really looked at, you know, his subpar numbers at the plate. But, you know, up late, Hanley's been one of the best hitters in the lineup. I mean, and that's a really good thing for the whole offense, because you can have Hanley Ramirez behind David Ortiz in the batting order, which means Ortiz isn't going to get pitched around. Ortiz is going to get pitchers to hit, so is Hanley. So I think if Hanley Ramirez continues to, you know, hit the way he has, that's a good thing for the whole Red Sox team.
And you mentioned Moncada, and is it possible as we get later in the season into late August, early September, especially with roster expansion, that maybe the best move for the Red Sox to add offense is not from a trade, but just in bringing one or both of those young guys, Moncada and or Benintendi, up to the parent club?
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what they do with those guys once the rosters expand until the 40 guys expand in September. I would expect both those guys to get called up at some point in September, maybe not right at September 1st, but especially when you look at Moncada and his ability to steal bases, the Red Sox don't really have a guy who can, you know, just get on first base and steal second base at will. And Moncada seems to be that guy. So maybe when you look at past deals, the Red Sox have made, you know, as the playoff approaches, I looked at like a Quinn Berry trade a couple of years ago. Mm. Maybe Moncada is that type of guy that gets called up to primarily just steal bases. And Benintendi, you know, we'll see how things progress with him in left field and how the Red Sox situation is out there, because Blake Swihart and Chris Young still haven't returned from their respective injuries. So maybe the Red Sox need a guy to spell Brock Holt left field, and that's where Benintendi slides in. So I think we'll see how this next month or so plays out with the system, but it wouldn't be surprising at all to see both those players up here come September.
After he got his 13th win of the season yesterday and still unbeaten at Fenway Park, is anybody around the ballpark complaining about Rick Porcello's salary these days?
None whatsoever. It's really remarkable what a year difference makes around here, especially with a guy like Porcello, because I think he's been probably the most underrated guy on the roster this year. And if you ask me who would start game one of a playoff game, I'm giving the ball to Rick Porcello right now. He's been very consistent, going, you know, at least six innings, limiting the damage when he can, keeping the Red Sox in the game. And that's the biggest key when you have an offense like the Red Sox have, is getting a start to go deep in the game and just keep them in it. I mean, they don't have to throw, you know, a seven-inning shutout, but seven innings of two or three runs, and you're in pretty good shape with the type of offense the Red Sox have.
Ryan, shifting gears a little bit, the Patriots open preseason camp this week, and over the weekend, some of the restrictions on Tom Brady were publicized as part of his four-game suspension with that Cracker Jack league office at the NFL commissioner's office. Who's going to be the one responsible for making sure that Tom Brady isn't doing anything to violate those restrictions?
It's a good question, man. People have been saying around here that, you know, they're going to have Bill Belichick He's already digging a tunnel from underneath Gillette Stadium over to the TV12 building at Patriot Place, where he'll slide for information underneath. I mean, I kind of find it hard to imagine them really, you know, honoring this too much. How can, you know, you not get video to the quarterback of the team? I mean, I'm sure Brady's going to get everything that he needs to know. I mean, granted, he probably won't be working out with players, you know, doing that. I'm going to rob Markowski out of college, but I would imagine that Brady will get, you know, the video he needs, and I wouldn't be surprised for him to be, you know, coming back very strong in week five.
What do you think is going to happen in preseason in terms of balancing the reps between Brady, who maybe doesn't need all that many to get set for game five, and Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, that's going to be a good storyline to watch over, you know, how camp evolves. I would think it'll be pretty much the same at the beginning, where Brady gets the reps with the ones. But once you get into that third preseason game where you start looking ahead to week one, I think that's maybe where Brady sort of slides back and takes a step back to Garoppolo, and that's where he gets the majority of the snaps. I would say Garoppolo would play the majority of that third preseason game. And then from there on out, he'll get most of the reps with the ones during practices and stuff like that. But then on the flip side, you don't want to have Brady just be, you know, working with the twos and threes and then being off for a month and coming back in week five with really, you know, over a month of not throwing to his top guy. So I think that'll be something to watch. Bill Belichick's one of the best coaches in the league, as everyone knows, so I'm sure he has a plan for this, and he'll make sure that, you know, Brady's at best for week five.
And Ryan, what do you think is maybe the biggest positional battle in camp?
It's a good question. I would say maybe the offensive line. That's not really set, you know, coming off of last year with all the questions that were raised, and I think it'll be worth watching how Dante Scarnecchia sort of, you know, mixes in with these new guys. I mean, he hasn't really worked with a lot of these guys, so they were drafted in the last year or two. I mean, he had a say in drafting them, but he hasn't had his hands on coaching them. So I think, you know, you have, especially at the center spot, you have Dave Andrews and Brian Thorpe, who sort of battled out last year working around Thorpe's injury. So I think when you look at the offensive line, especially on the interior, that's something to definitely watch, especially when we saw in the AFC Championship game how bad, you know, Tom Brady was under pressure all game long. So that needs to be, you know, solid moving forward to protect Brady and obviously Garoppolo for the first four games.
Ryan Hannibal writes about the Patriots and, of course, the Red Sox for WEEI Boston. Ryan, as always, thanks for being with us. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks, Rich. Have a good one.